And let me get there. Romans chapter 1. Now I'm going to start in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal powers and divine nature, those things you cannot see, because God is unseen, right? For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Now, how many of you see this? I want you to give me a show of hands. The physical things, according to Paul here, testify to the spiritual things. The things you see testify to things you cannot see. The things of creation testify even to God's invisible qualities, eternal power, and Godhead. It is represented in the things that are made. Well, let's read it in the King James. It doesn't matter. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. How did He show it? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You look at the things that are made and you understand the spiritual things. Right? Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because what they knew, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So you can see, how many of you can see very clearly the principle? The physical things testify to the spiritual things. How many of you have heard from Proverbs 8 that wisdom lifts her voice in the street and no one hears it? Let me read to you this from Proverbs 8. All right? Proverbs chapter 8. Now, a lot of people have tried to say, like some of the Jehovah's Witnesses and other people, have tried to say that Proverbs 8 is referring to Jesus because it witnesses to God. No, it's not Jesus. Jesus is not given the female personality. It says wisdom lifts her voice in the street. Wisdom lifts her voice in the street, and nobody's listening. Wisdom, and let's read it. This is Proverbs chapter 8. Let me get there. Does not wisdom call out? Verse 1. Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips and speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them are crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, neither rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. All right, without going into the whole thing, do you see where it says, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights along the way? What is that way? It's the way to God, to the city of God. Where the paths meet, she takes her stand. That's where the physical meets the spiritual. Where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Hear it again. Where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city. all the entrances she cries aloud. And we're talking about the heavenly city. Can you see that wisdom is the physical, the creation? The physical things testify to the spiritual things. Wisdom has lifted her voice in the streets. The things God has created are done in wisdom. Wisdom speaks through creation to tell us we have a creator, doesn't she? Wisdom is creation. Because in every way, the creation of God mirrors its creator. Right? Now, what's the devil want to do? He wants to destroy the image of God in the earth. And that's why we have it corrupted. That's why we have homosexuality and divorce and all this other things. Because the devil wants to muddy the image of God in the earth. Because the physical things testify to the spiritual things. God's creation testifies to himself. Just like Van Gogh's paintings testify to who Van Gogh is. You can see Van Gogh in his paintings, right? And so you can see God in his handiwork. Wisdom lifts her voice in the streets. Who can hear it? The physical things testify to the spiritual things. And this is why the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness or hold this truth in unrighteousness. To hold it is to suppress it, to not agree with it, to not to let it out to people. To hold it in unrighteousness. You see the point. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities and his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So don't we learn a basic principle here? The physical things are here to testify to spiritual things. The physical things are here to testify to spiritual things. That's their purpose. This is why Jesus used parables to explain spiritual things. He used things you could see to explain things you could not see. And therefore you understand what Jesus is saying now to Nicodemus. You can't just be born physically. You have to be born spiritually. It's not of water only, but of water and the Spirit. It's not just out of your mother's water sack, Nicodemus. It's not two births. You can't go back into your mother's womb twice. It's both. It's physical and spiritual. And the physical one testifies to the spiritual one. Now, this is a principle we call, the Bible calls, the last will be first and the first will be last. The last will be first and the first will be last. Let's compare it to you having to be born again. First you came according to the physical. You were born physically. And now as a Christian, you have been born spiritually through faith, right, in Christ. Born from above. Now, what came first is rejected, the flesh, but what came second is accepted. You see that? The last will be first, and the first will be last. The physical things testify to the spiritual things that are coming. But once the spiritual things arrive, the physical is done away with. This is the pattern. The last will be first, and the first will be last. What will be redeemed? What came first, but is redeemed last of you? Your body came first, but it'll be redeemed last through the resurrection. Your spirit came last, but it'll be redeemed. It has been redeemed first in Christ, right? Can y'all see this? Now look at the testimony of John. Look at all the things that John said, and see this pattern displayed in John. John said, I baptize you with water. Physical. Like born of water. Ooh. See that comparison? I baptize you with water. But there's one who comes after me that's preferred before me. And he'll baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. So the one that baptizes with fire comes after the one that baptizes with water. But the one that baptizes with fire is preferred before the one that baptizes with water. The last will be first, the first will be last. You see the pattern of God? John came first according to the physical, right? Testifying to the spiritual, what was coming. And when Jesus arrived, what happened to John's ministry? When the spiritual finally arrived, what happened to John's ministry? It was ended. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. John tells you in John chapter 3, I speak as one from below. And he speaks as one from above. And the one who speaks as one from above is above all. And then John was put to death. When the spiritual arrives, the physical that testified to the spiritual is done away with. And this is true even in you. When the testimony of Christ came to your heart, then your body was put under the condemnation of death. And the only way that your body can enter into the spiritual is through this death and subsequent resurrection, right? Your body must die. What is sown in corruption will be raised in glory. That's the hope of this gospel. But right now there's a division, isn't it? When you receive Jesus, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Because the righteous requirements of the law must be fully met in your body. Sin is condemned in sinful flesh. So that when the body dies, the sin nature dies with it. Do you see this pattern expressed in you? First you were born physically, and then you were born spiritually, and your body, the physical, was given over to death. John came first, baptizing with water, then testifying to the one who would baptize with fire. When he arrived, John was given over to death. See, the prophecy prophesies until what's prophesied arrives. And once what is prophesied arrives, then the prophecy is done away with. Right? You see that pattern. How many of you see it? Seriously. Just in the things we've been saying here. 2 Corinthians 3. So we can continue on in this pattern. Paul says, when he's talking about the glory of the new covenant. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, that's the law, right? Came with glory. So that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses, because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? In other words, if the law came with a glory, and it's a glory that passes away, physical, how much more will be the glory of the ministry of the Spirit, which is eternal? Can you see that? If that which is written on stone was glorious, so that the Israelites could not look into Moses' face because of the glory of his countenance, and yet that glory fades, how much more glorious will be the glory of the Spirit? If the glory of the physical is one thing, how much more glorious is that of the spiritual? If there's a glory of the terrestrial, how much greater is the glory of the celestial? If there's a glory of the moon, which only reflects light, how much more glory is there in the sun? Light in itself. If the picture is glorious, how much more will the reality be? You see what's being said here? If the ministry that condemns men, that brings you death, because in the physical we all die, that physical covenant ends in death, doesn't it? Convicts us of sin and ends in death. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? So if the ministry that brings death is glorious, how much more is the ministry that brings life eternally? For what was glorious, the law, the physical, has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. So we see that there's two things here. There's a passing glory and a surpassing glory. Now let's compare this to what we were talking about. John the Baptist was the last of the old covenant, testifying to the covenant that would come. The physical testifies to the spiritual. And if John came with a glory, how much greater was the glory of Jesus? And if John's glory passed away, how much more is Jesus' eternal? The last will be first, and the first will be last. Ooh. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that which was fading away came with glory, how much greater is that of the glory which lasts? Therefore, verse 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. So what was the purpose of the veil? And you're going to see this in the physical too. What was the perfect purpose of the veil? It wasn't to keep them from gazing at the glory. It was to keep them from gazing at the glory as it passed. In other words, it was to keep them from seeing that the glory must pass away. It was to keep them from seeing that the physical must pass away. To keep them from seeing that it is a passing glory. Because the revelation of the eternal, the spiritual, didn't get here until Jesus. You see that? And so all those, it says, about all those who are still under that old covenant, but their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Now, all of those of us in Christ, we see that this physical isn't about forever, and that our hope isn't physical, don't we? We see that our hope is eternal and spiritual. We've removed that veil, or had that veil removed. And that veil is flesh. The veil of flesh must be taken away so you can see the truth. The physical is here until the eternal gets here, but once the eternal arrives, the physical is done away with. This is the nature of things. This is the pattern of God. So, but their minds were made dull, for this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. It's flesh. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who all with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So you can see the point. The physical must pass away. That's what's hidden from the minds of carnal men. They think the physical is going to go on forever. They think that the blessings are physical. But we with unveiled faces, we're not just looking in the passing glory. We're seeing the surpassing glory in the face of Christ. We're not trying to look into Moses' face and that glory that's hidden behind a veil. But what's really hidden is that glory of the law, just like the glory of the physical, passes away. It's not hidden from us that this must pass away. We can handle it. Because we're looking for the eternal. This is why Abraham didn't settle for a foot of ground in Israel when God said, come, I'll show you a land. I'm going to give you. He lived in tents all of his days, as did Jacob and Isaac, who were heirs with him. Why? Because he wasn't settling for a physical land. He came in the process of walking through faith with God to look through the physical, past that veil, into the spiritual. He began to look for an everlasting city, a city whose builder and maker is God. And that's what happens with us through faith. We may start out physical, but in the process of following God, it becomes spiritual. We may start out with the temporary. Well, can y'all see this? This understanding? The physical must pass away. It must. Now, in understanding this, you see that the physical testifies to the spiritual. That's its purpose. And when its testimony is complete, it's done away with. John testified to Jesus. And when his testimony was complete, he was done away with. Because what he testified to arrived. And what the physical has been testifying to now has arrived in Jesus Christ. And we are no longer those who walk according to the covenant that govern the physical or the laws that govern the physical. We walk according to the spiritual, which is eternal, and we walk according to the law of the Spirit of life that makes us free from sin and death. This is the pattern of God. And it's beyond carnal thinking. It's beyond carnal minds. And the revelation of God works in the same way the creation does. Because it came first according to the physical, and now it has come according to the spiritual. And this is why you must first understand what the Bible is saying physically, in order for God to quicken it and make it spiritual in you. Jesus came in the body of a man, but he didn't stay in the body of that man. That body was buried and died. And it was risen again and brought into the spiritual. It was quickened. The Word of God was quickened by the power of the Holy Ghost. It was planted in this earth in the likeness of death, but it was raised in glory. And guess what? The Word of God, the physical, must be planted in your heart, and it takes the Holy Spirit to quicken it in you so that you understand. So you can worship God not according to a code, but according to your heart. This is the pattern of God. This is how it works. This is where it starts. Every physical thing that happened in the Scripture has a spiritual understanding. And it doesn't come by carnal minds or men's theology or how smart somebody is in figuring it out. It comes by revelation of Jesus Christ. So that your dependence is on the means of the Spirit and not the means of the flesh, no matter how educated that darkened flesh may be. You've got to start seeing things in a whole different way. It's not education that saves you. It's a spiritual education that saves you. A revelation from the Spirit through the sacrifice of Christ. Through Jesus' death, you're dead with Him to this world, and through Jesus' resurrection, you're alive with Him to the next. That's what it means to be adopted out of one into the other. You must be adopted out of the physical and into the spiritual, or you'll perish when the physical perishes. You must see that the physical's purpose is to testify to the eternal. You must receive that testimony so that you can go on to the eternal. Now, this will change the whole face of what the gospel is to you if you let God teach you. If you'll let God teach you. You can plant the word in your heart, but only God can lift it up. And that's why you must be in submission and on your face before Him. You can plant the word in your heart, but only God can quicken it. This is the pattern of God. Who did Jesus be dependent? Was He dependent on as a man? Even though He was God by nature before He became a man. He laid aside what it meant to be God to become a man. And He lived as a man would have to, didn't He? Dependent upon the Father. And He walked as the Father would have Him walk. He lived as a man would have to set that example for us. A man dependent upon the Father. And when He died and gave Himself over to the Father's will, it is God who lifted Him up. So all of us must agree with God and lay our lives down and then trust Him in faith to lift us up. The word must be planted into your heart, but only God can raise it so that it becomes living water in you. This is where it starts. The pattern of God is all through the Scripture. Every physical understanding has a spiritual one, and it only comes by revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is the first part on the pattern of God, section 1. We're going to do section 2 tomorrow at noon. And I encourage you to continue on because there's some principles we're going to lay down here by the Scriptures and through the Spirit that will absolutely revolutionize your prayer life and your study life because God wants to teach you, but you have to submit to His way. And His pattern. You've got to understand there's a difference between men trying to figure it out and who God reveals Himself to be. To be in submission to God, you must be submissive to His way and His pattern, not the pattern of which men follow. Or you'll never get it right. Amen? It's a good place to stop.